And we're going to have Tony Washington from Utah. I've known Tony for, gosh, since 1982, 40 years, 41 years. You know, so it's been great. God knew that how our lives would interact and cross at different points in time. And so take it away, Tony.
All right. Thank you, John, and God bless you, everybody. I'm thankful for this opportunity this morning to teach. This is what I'm going to share this morning, I think, has the potential to revolutionize your life, to change your life, you know, to make you happier day by day. I think if you've been a believer long enough, right, you're familiar with what it means to have self-condemnation, to condemn yourself, to judge yourself. And, you know, as I think about it, I can't think of anything really that negates a believer's walk, you know, or impact more than self-judgment and self-condemnation. So today we're going to explore the futility of self-judgment. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4. And in verse 3, this is the Apostle Paul talking. And remember, Corinthians is a reproof epistle. So reproof means there's some doctrine that got a little twisted and it needs to get straight again. So in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3, Paul says, "But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self." And I wanted to read this to you from a couple of other versions because of it, how impacting it is in these other versions. And in the New Living Translation, it says, "As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It's the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns." And then here's another version, the Passion Translation. In the Passion Translation, it says, "But personally, I'm not the least bit concerned if I'm judged by you or any verdict I receive from any human court. In fact, I don't even assume to be my own judge, even though my conscience is clear. But that doesn't mean I stand acquitted before the Lord, for the only judge I care about is him. So resist the temptation to pronounce premature judgment on anything before the appointed time when all will be fully revealed." So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is that he doesn't judge himself, right? And I think something that's incredible, if you think about Paul's life and Paul's past, you know, there was a time when Paul was having believers murdered, executed, right? And so that would be back there in his mind, yet he still said his conscience is clear. He doesn't judge himself. And he doesn't judge himself because he's believing God's word in that category of life. So Paul is our example of how to walk. So, you know, interestingly, sometimes I think that voice we hear in our head, that voice that's accusing us or, you know, pointing out what we did wrong all the time, I think sometimes we might think that that's God's voice. You know, in other words, that like people say in church circles, you know, the Lord convicted me. And I've always thought to myself, how could the Lord convict you if he's already judged you righteous in Christ Jesus? So the reality is that God doesn't judge us, period. So if you'll turn, please, to Galatians chapter 5, we'll read it from the word directly. Let's go here, little computer. Galatians 5. It says, and we'll start in verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." And I'd like to substitute here, circumcised would be any work that we feel like we have to do. "Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision or what you do availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, what you don't do, but faith which is worketh or is energized by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you, right? This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. It's not God's voice. It's not coming from God. Take a look at Romans chapter 8, please. So the reality is that God does not judge us, period. End of story. Not in certain situations or only if you're this or if you're that. God does not judge us, and God does not want us to judge ourselves. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, a familiar verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there is therefore now no condemnation to you and I. And if you look down at verse 31, God says it another way. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? You know, that includes you. That includes me. You know, we don't have a reason, according to God's word, to be against ourselves or to be always judging ourselves and, you know, acknowledging our faults and our failings and, you know, where we come up short. It's not God's will. It's just a trick. It's a deception. Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, right? So in other words, we have been made right by God in God's sight. So there is really, literally no point in you and I judging ourselves. You know, it doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't make anything better. It's just a trick. It's a deception. Look at Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 3. And it says in verse 3, and I love this verse, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So each of us, we began in the Spirit. We have God's Spirit on the inside, and it's perfect and incorruptible. So can we improve upon that Spirit God gave us by the flesh? You know, whenever you and I judge ourselves or condemn ourselves, what we're really judging is our flesh. Doesn't that make sense? What else could we be judging? The Spirit inside us is perfect and incorruptible. It doesn't go bad. It's not affected by the world and the things that go on in the world. So really what we're doing is judging our flesh. And, you know, we can't improve upon with our flesh what God has done for us in the Spirit. Look at what the word says about our flesh. Turn to Romans chapter 7, please. Romans chapter 7. And then in verse 18, this is Paul talking again. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's what the word says about our flesh. So every time you and I are trying to improve our flesh or, you know, worse, make our flesh bring forth spiritual fruit, it's a futile effort, right? It's vain. It's not going to impact anything because I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. God already said it. So your spirit inside is perfect and remains perfect. It's foolproof. God never asked you and I to improve our flesh, our old nature, right? He simply asked us to put it off. Stop listening to it. Stop considering it. Stop judging it. All of our misguided analysis and evaluation of ourselves is nothing more than trying to make our flesh bring forth spiritual fruit. And it's impossible. Look at John chapter 6, please. Gospel of John, chapter 6, and all the way down in verse 63, it says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, or makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So it's that spirit inside us is where our life comes from. The flesh profits nothing, right? That's the reality of God's word. So again, whenever you and I are focusing or judging ourselves or condemning ourselves, really what we're focusing on is our flesh. And the adversary, always the accuser, always wants to drive our focus back to ourselves. You know, so you end up thinking about yourself and evaluating yourself and analyzing yourself and judging yourself. And it's not God's will. It's actually the opposite of God's will. So we'll close today in Romans chapter 7 again. And this is the Apostle Paul explaining for us, helping us to understand the dilemma that all of us face as believers by having this spirit inside, yet having an old nature that creeps up from time to time that God says is crucified in Christ Jesus. So Romans chapter 7, oh, we're going to look at this in the NIV, because I think it had a good translation, if I can get there. And it says in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. you ever been there before? For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do which is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. That's the reality, right? That's why we shouldn't judge ourselves. Verse 21, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Or another way to say it, I think King James Version says it, who will rescue me from this dead body? You know, Paul is lamenting the fact that you and I have an old nature right now. You know, there's a time coming in the future when we're not going to have an old nature, but right now we have an old nature. And Paul calls it a dead body. The body of this flesh is dead, you know, it's pointless. So who shall deliver me from this? Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So that's the dilemma that each one of us as believers go through. God has made us righteous in Christ Jesus, and God does not judge you. He does not judge me. So our job is to stop that voice, to stop you know, trying to improve our flesh or evaluating our flesh or trying to make the flesh bring forth spiritual fruit. It is an impossibility. It is the definition of a futile effort. Instead, God asks us to simply put on the new nature and walk in that new nature in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. We live by the grace of God. So stop judging yourself, you know, stop condemning yourself because it's just an exercise in futility. Amen. Amen.